Father, we thank you in Jesus' name that all of us in this second service and those that are listening live right now, we all of us, we lay everything aside. We want nothing but your word of God. Father, I pray this morning, somehow, some way, open up our ears where we truthfully hear your word, and it so enters our heart that we want to do what you ask us to do, Lord. Help me to teach your word accurately and truthfully. And Father, again, for all those that we constantly lift up every morning to you, Lord, for healing, and for, Lord, for Eric and Roy and Sherwin and Steve Edwards, Lord, and for Ernest, who's been so ill, just touching their bodies and, Lord, blessing them and blessing their families and bringing comfort and prosperity to them, Lord. And Lord, touch us now with your word. We love you. We praise you this morning in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. It's so good to have you this morning. And listen, normally I teach, as you know, that are at Calvary, we teach through the Word of God, book by book. But the last Sunday, we started what we call our New Year's sermon. Now, if you are visiting with us and are, if you were not here last Sunday, I encourage you to go to the bookstore in the main lobby right after the service and pick up part one of our New Year's message about our potential that we have in Christ Jesus. Today may be the final message. I feel like there's probably going to be one more sermon, but I don't know. If I don't have another sermon, I will be in 2 John. But this morning, we're going to be doing a lot of turning. I pray that your Bibles are going to be open. You have a pen in hand and notes where you can take down these scriptures. But what I want you to do right now is, as we open, I want you to turn in the Old Testament to the book of Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. We're only going to be there for just a moment, but I want you to see something. Because this morning, I'm going to be talking on the topic of how important is obedience. Let me say that again. How important is obedience? You ever think about that? Let me ask you a question. Tell me one person in the Bible that when they have obeyed God, that the enemy defeated them. Anywhere? Listen, when you obey God, you win. Amen? Now, it doesn't mean you're going to not go through warfare. It doesn't mean you're not going to have hard times. It doesn't mean that you might not suffer. It might mean that you're down at the brook Cherith and there's no one sending you any food except a little raven day and night. But the fact of the matter is that God will provide when you're obedient to him. Amen? So how important is obedience? I wanted to start with an Old Testament book there in Deuteronomy 28. And I want you to notice something beginning in verse 1. And now it shall come to pass if you diligently... What's that word? Obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. Now watch this. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you, there's that word, obey the voice of the Lord your God. And it goes through and it tells how you'll be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, and so forth and so forth. Now listen. Those blessings run through verse 14 all to verse 15, if you want to include that. But what I want you to see is what the cause of disobedience, when we're disobedient to the will of God. Now watch this, beginning in verse 16, the word, what's that word in verse 16, that first word? Oh, is that a good word? Cursed is not a good word. Now watch this, it goes all the way over to verse 68. Now, did you notice that the blessings are very short and when you're disobedient, the curses are very long? Did y'all see that? Okay. It's okay to just say yes. Now say, Bill, why'd you take me there? That's the Old Testament. That's the Old Covenant. And that's the law. That's not the law, but that, the fact of the matter is that has to do with the nation of Israel. And I agree with you 100%. Now listen very carefully. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, that they were examples unto us, and these things were written unto us for our very own admonition. Think about that. God says, this is a warning here. Listen, as long as the nation of Israel obeyed God, were they blessed? When they started walking in disobedience, did they get in trouble? It was horrible. It cost them the whole nation. They fell because of it, because of their own disobedience. They knew the will of God. They knew the commandments of God, and they disobeyed him. So Corinthians teaches us that this was written for our admonition. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, Paul writes and he says, listen, take heed. You know, you think you're standing, take heed lest you fall. Amen. So we need to learn from this morning. We're talking about how important obedience is. We're talking about from last Sunday's sermon on a potential. In other words, 2013, the potential that we have in Christ Jesus. Potential, the possibility of becoming what you are. Potential, existing, ready for action, but not active. Potential, unrealized ability, yet not manifested. My question to you this morning is the same one that I asked last Sunday. I do not want to be repetitive, but they're worth repeating. And as I repeat these questions to you, listen, they're not in any way to produce guilt or manipulate you. They're to wake us up. We need to hear the Word of God. We need to be obedient to the Word of God if we're ever going to walk in our true potential that we have in Christ Jesus. Amen? Now, question. Decision 2013. Do we, Calvary Chapel, do we really want to be all that we are capable of becoming in Christ Jesus? I mean, do we really, really want that? That's a very fair question. And let me ask you another question. The same question I asked you last Sunday. How far does this church really want to go with the Lord? How far are we really, let me put it this way, how far of all of us, since we're all connected to one another, since we're the body of Christ, how far are we all willing to go with Jesus? I asked you these questions last Sunday. I said, do we want to be a popular church or do we want to be an effective church? Do we want to make an impact on the world or do we want the world to make an impact on us? I ask you, I said, how much of the cross of Christ are we really willing to carry? Are we going to just carry a little bit? Or are we going to carry it all? In other words, our true potential is only as Christians will only be found in Jesus Christ. You know, do we really want to follow the Lord? See, how important is obedience concerning our potential, concerning God's plan? Listen, you know, how far down the road do we want to follow Jesus? Is there a limit to our following Him? Is there a limit to our potential in Christ Jesus? No, there's not. The only limitation is what we set upon ourselves. So the question is, do we really in 2013 and beyond, as long as the Lord tarries, pardon me, do we really want to find the Lord? Do we really want to follow Him? Do we really want to reach our potential? Another honest question this morning. Did you come prepared to truly hear God's word? In other words, prepared to hear. Prepared to hear. Now listen, have you prepared the soil of your heart before you arrived to hear this sermon this morning? You know, that is a very fair question. In other words, did you have a quiet time? I had a quiet time this morning. It wasn't very good, but God has mercy. Amen? And it's okay. But at least I had a quiet time. See, in other words, are you really prepared this morning? You're here, you're sitting here, but are you really prepared to hear God's word? See, it's so easy for the church today. I'm going, you know, we read the Fort Worth Star-O-Gram before we leave and have our coffee and all of that, and we walk into the church, you know, but we're not prepared. Did you have a quiet time? Did you really seek the Lord? Did you open up your Bibles? Not beating you up, I'm asking you a question. The reason I'm asking that is this. How would you like it if I came here this morning as your pastor, but I had not prepared? Let's just say that, you know, yesterday and the day, because Saturday is my day to be with the Lord. Let's say I went out and played golf. It's not a sin to play golf. But I said, you know what, Lord, I think tomorrow that you'll give me maybe 1 or 2 points. And, you know, I'm just going to come up here and just, you know what, I didn't prepare, but here, Holy Spirit, just use me. Whatever you're going to say this morning, let's just do it. Well, how would you feel about that? Listen, I stand here because I have something to say. And what I say today, I want you to think about tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Amen? And what I have to say comes from God's word. These are not my thoughts. They're His words. Amen? So listen, how important is obedience? How important is it to really hear the word of God? Are we really prepared to hear God's word this morning? Remember what Paul said rather to the church at Thessalonica. He said in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, he says this, "For this reason we thank God without ceasing He was thanking God without ceasing for this church. And here's why. Because when you receive the word of God, that word receive means when you heard the word of God from us, you welcomed it, which means they welcomed it into their hearts, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. Now listen, how do you listen to a sermon? You showed up this morning. How are you going to listen to the word of God? In other words, if you're here hurting this morning, you're going to say, Bill, I'm looking for comfort. I don't blame you. I'm for you. I understand. If you're discouraged, you're going to say, Lord, I don't want to be discouraged. You know, if you're having problems in your marriage, then you're going, I'm looking for a word about my marriage. Some people come because they're more occupied maybe with the messenger than the message. I don't know. And I think, oh, God. You know what excited Paul? He was so excited because he said, I stood before you and I preached the word of God, but you received it not as my word, but the word of God. Amen. And that's why it's so important for us not to be a careless hearer. I'm talking about potential, the possibility of becoming what we are already in Christ Jesus. In other words, that we can become everything that Jesus said we can do and become. Now listen, how important is obedience? Number one, it's the key to our potential in Christ, but more than that, it's the key to absolutely everything that we do. You remember last Sunday, we talked about that we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Well, listen, salt was created to do something. Amen? Okay, we're salt. We're born again. We're the salt of the earth. Now, wait a minute. Here's the deal. What did Jesus say? If the salt is no longer doing its job, accomplishing what it's created for, what did Jesus say it's good for? Good for nothing but to be what? Thrown out and trampled under the foot of man. And you start thinking about that. Now listen, did you know, Christian, that we cannot be light until we are salt? Meaning, in other words, salt is a character. It's Christ-likeness in us. It's what the Holy Spirit is producing in us, that Christ-likeness. See, if we don't have the character of Christ, we're not shining. Amen? If we're walking in the flesh and living after the flesh and thinking after the flesh and not walking after the Spirit, nobody's going to see Jesus. Amen? And so we can't be then the light of the world. Listen, obedience. How important is obedience? Obedience produces light. Obedience produces fruitfulness, or the character of Christ in our lives. What did Jesus, when we concluded last Sunday, what did Jesus say in Matthew 5:16? He says, let your light so shine. Let your light. You have to do that. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Now listen to me. How important is obedience? Listen to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I hope you're going to take some, write down these scriptures. Jesus said this in John 14:15. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Isn't that amazing? Jesus said in John 14:21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, in other words, obeys them. We're talking about how important is obedience. It is he who loves me. John 14:24, Jesus said, he who does not love me does not keep my words. John the Apostle writes in 1 John 5:3, this is love for God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. But I promise you, to those who do not keep them, in the power, by grace, by God's strength, amen, not ours, I promise you, then the word of God becomes a burden to you. We don't want that to happen. So how important is obedience? Obedience to Jesus Christ, following him, to God, our Father. Listen, obedience proves our love for Jesus. Obedience is the evidence that proves it. Now listen, you know what J. Vernon McGee said? You know J. Vernon McGee. He's in heaven now. Okay, I'm going to quote what he said about this scripture. He says, an undisciplined Christian cannot say that he loves the Lord Jesus. Now, I didn't say that. J. Vernon did. So if you have a problem, he's in heaven. Contact him. When Jesus says this, he says, when Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Literally, You will keep my commandments if you love me. What is he telling us? Listen to me, church. Obedience, how important is it? Love for God. Love for your wife. Love for your neighbor. Love for God is not demonstrated by what comes out of our mouth. Amen? That's what it means. Listen, isn't it so easy to say, oh, I love you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. You know, we can honor God all day with our lips, and our heart can be way down the street. No, no, no. Love for God is not demonstrated by our words, but it is demonstrated by our doing. Love is a verb. It is demonstrative. In other words, it does something. It doesn't say something. It does something. Are you following me? Do you see how important obedience is? See, if God commands us to do all these things, you know, in the New Testament and so forth in the Bible, and we don't do them, what's wrong with us? There's a problem, isn't there? See, if we're going to reach our full potential in Christ, if we're going to find out all that we are, get into the plan of God, we have to be obedient. That's how important obedience is, okay? What I want you to do, let's turn together to James chapter 1. It's right toward the end of the Bible, Hebrew, then James. And I want you to look at chapter 1 with me. And oh, let's begin in verse James 1:21. Therefore, James says, now James, remember, is a half-brother of Jesus. James says, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to what? Save your souls. Now look at verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Deceiving yourselves. Now listen, deception is to accept as true what is false. Let me say that again. Deception is to accept as true what is false. Now, what did James 1:22 just tell us? And by the way, you know, James has 108 verses, and I think about, what, 54 imperatives, in other words, commands, if you study out the whole five chapters. And here in this command, James 1:22, rather, is a command from God. So how important is our obedience? The absence of obedience not only stops our potential in Christ, it leaves us living in self-deception. In other words, it says, be a doer. In other words, put it into practice and not just a hearer only. If you do that, you're going to deceive yourself. And you listen to me. You look at this and they were upset. They were deceived. They were believing, as you've heard me preach many times from this pulpit, they were believing this, that hearing is enough. All I have to do is go to church and just hear the word. Now listen to me. How important is obedience? To hear God's word and not obey God's word is what? What is it? Deception. Think about that. I mean, God says, you're deceived. This is the word of life. This is power. This is living. This is active. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. This is going to get you out of trouble. This is going to get you on the right road. This is going to get you right next to Jesus. How important is obedience? If we hear God's word and don't obey God's word, he says, oh, loved one, you're deceived. You've accepted as truth what is false in your life. I know many, many times you've heard me stand in this pulpit and on this verse particularly and say, you know what? The Apostle Paul, he could walk through this door right now and he could come up here and he could preach all 13, maybe even 14 books if he wrote Hebrews, all 14 books of the Bible. We could sit and listen to them. Amen? And Peter could come up here, James, anyway, Matthew, all of them, they could come up here and preach the word to us. Matter of fact, we could even memorize what they teach. We could even ponder what they teach. We could study what they teach. We could, you know what, we could say, hey, Peter, listen, you know what, we want a marriage seminar. And he could give us a marriage seminar from the word of God and we could listen to what he says, or we could go to conference after conference. We can put the word of God all over our car bumper stickers. We can put it all over our refrigerator. You can take little yellow sticky notes and write. You know what I'm trying to say? But the fact of the matter is, unless we do it, unless we hear the word of God and do the word of God, apply the word of God, we're deceived. How important is obedience? Oh, loved one, what did Jesus say in John 10:27? He says, my sheep, what? here. Are you Jesus' sheep? Then Jesus said this, my sheep hear. What do they hear? My voice. And I know them. And then they do something. They what? Follow me. Did you catch that? What did Jesus say in John 10:27? He said, my sheep hear and my sheep what? Follow. That means they hear and they do. Listen, that is so wonderful. Revelation 22:14 says, blessed are those who do his commandments. Jesus told us in Mark 4:24, he says, take heed now. He says, with the same measure you use it. In other words, take what you hear. Take heed how you hear it, the word of God. With the same measure that you use it, it'll be measured back to you again. We're so blessed with have the word of God. Now listen, you know that I've told you over and over from the Bible, because this is almost like a review here, isn't it? It's like basics. You know, listen, hearing and doing is what? One what? One act. See, hearing and doing is one act. It's not two different things. You hear the word of God, you do the word of God. Does that make sense? Hearing and doing is one act. God says serve. God says go. God says do this. And if we don't do it, we are deceived. And more than that, now listen to me. If for a Christian to sit under the teaching of God's word and to hear God's word and not do God's word, here's the truth. You ready for this? It means that God's word has no effect on your life. That's a very, very powerful thought to ponder, isn't it? It means that God's word, we're sheep, but we heard it, but no, we didn't do it. God, it didn't have any effect upon us. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, he said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do the things I ask you to do? How important is obedience? Do you see how important it is so far? It is vital for the Christian. Now turn, let's look at another passage in Matthew. Go to a very familiar section of Scripture, Matthew chapter 7. And look at verse 21. Jesus says this, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Okay, well, who will enter the kingdom of heaven, Lord? Here it comes. But he who what? Does the will of my Father in heaven. Listen to me. When we come to Jesus, when we say, Lord, come into my heart. Christian, listen, that's only the beginning of our walk, isn't it? Yes, that's just the beginning. All the potential that lies in us and lies in Christ, that lies ahead of us. He says, oh, many are going to say to me in that day, that's the day when Jesus judges all mankind. He's going to say, oh, Lord, Lord, you know, have we not prophesied your name, cussed out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? Now listen, did Jesus condemn any of that? He didn't condemn them for casting out demons. He didn't condemn them for prophesying. He didn't condemn them for doing many wonders in their name. What did Jesus condemn them for? He said, well, I declare to them, I never knew you. I don't know who you are. You're not my disciples. Depart from me. And here's the reason why. You who practice what? Lawlessness. In other words, they didn't do what Jesus asked them to do. Now listen. Deception, how important is obedience? Deception is believing that calling Jesus Lord, Lord is enough. That's how you're saved. But the fact of the matter is if you believe that just by raising your hand, and we do that here, or coming down the aisle, and we do that here, Or if you belong to another church and you signed a membership card, if you believe that's all that there is, then there's a deception there. You see, when you come to Christ and Jesus truly becomes your Lord, okay, no matter your education, your background, how much money you have, it doesn't matter. When Jesus becomes your Lord, you're really saved, you become a new creation in Christ. It's just that simple. And you know what? Old things pass away. Behold, all things become what? New. There's a change. Listen, Almighty God cannot come into a person's heart and they not be changed. Amen? Listen, something happens. And so we look at that and I say, oh Lord, how important is obedience? How important is it for our lives? Look what Jesus, how he continues there in verse 24. Therefore, whoever what? Hears. We're talking about hearing and doing this morning. How important obedience is. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, they hear them and they do them. They receive them into their heart. They act upon them. Jesus said, well, I'll liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Rains descended, floods came, winds blew, beat on that house. It did not fall. Why? For it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine, does not do them, will be like a foolish man, built his house on sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat on the house. It fell, and great was its fall. Question. Did both men build identical houses? The only thing that was different, in other words, was it the same testings came to both homes? Yes. The only thing that was different was the foundations. Now listen, how important is obedience? It's a matter of life and death, loved one. I look at this and I say, oh Lord, I see so many marriages that are in trouble. And you know, the fact that the reason that they're in trouble is because they're not building on the rock. And the rock is Jesus Christ and these sayings of mine. In other words, you take what Jesus said and you do them. And you say, well, Bill, my marriage fell apart. Well, you know, it wasn't my fault. Okay, it may have not been your fault. Thank God. It was your spouse's fault. In other words, it takes two, doesn't it? It takes the man and the woman saying, you know what, Lord, your word, you're right. And we're going to be both of us. We love you. You saved us. We're going to be obedient to your word. See, listen to me now. If we're only hearing and not doing, we are never, 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 never going to walk in the potential that we have in Jesus Christ. We're never, ever going to have the victory. It's not going to happen. If we just hear and not do, we're never, ever going to enter God's plan for our life, and our potential will be stolen. The life that is built on hearing and doing, are there going to be storms? Yes. Are the winds going to blow? The flood's going to come? Yes. But that house, that person's life didn't fall. Why? Because he lived his life, he heard God's word, and he did God's word. Amen? That's how important obedience is in our life. Listen, I say this with no joy in my heart this morning, but I have lived long enough on this earth, and I have been a Christian a long, long time, okay? And I have been preaching a long, long time in God's house. And I look at the Christianity that we have today, and may I say to you that would I be just a little bit fair in saying that in the 21st century church today, that most in the church today, and I'm not judging, I would say that it's their partial salt. Huh? There may be, say, partial light. In other words, there's so many Christians today in the church, and you know what? They have one foot on the rock, and they have the other foot in the world. And they're being pulled back and forth, and they're like a yo-yo. This week I'm living for Christ, and next week I'm living for whatever I want. And their lives are torn up. Listen to me. I look at that and I say, how many today, think about it, come on, let's be honest, how many today are serving or giving or praying? How many people are truly burdened for the church and burdened for our nation? When I see the sin and the darkness that's covering our land, are you burdened for that? Are you thinking about, Bill, you're just depressing. I could have gone to the church across the street. Well, you know what? You could have, but I'm telling you the truth. You know, I mean, I don't want to be partial light. I don't want to say, well, I can show you just a little bit. I can probably maybe get you saved, but I can't teach you how to pray. I can't teach you how to fast. I can't teach you about the end times. I can't teach you about being a disciple, but I can get you, I'm a partial salt. I'm going to make you just a little bit thirsty. And you know, I have a lamp, but it's pretty dim, and I'm going to get you so far, but if you keep following me, you know what? It's going to be like the blind leading the blind, and we're both going to fall in the ditch. I'm looking for potential for this church, all of us being everything we can be in Christ Jesus. How important is obedience? We'll never arrive there unless we do what God says. So many Christians today, they feel at home in the world. Listen, this is not our home. We have no continuing city here. We're looking for one to come. So many believers are at home in the world. You know what Jesus said about that? He said, remember Lot's wife. What did she do? She looked back at Sodom. Why? That's where her heart was. She looked back. She disobeyed. How important is obedience? Was it a matter of life and death? What would happen today if God did the same thing? How many of us would turn? Now listen, let's be honest. How many in the church today would turn to a pillar of salt? Maybe I wouldn't make it either. Maybe God say, you know what, Bill, you're not obeying me. Oh, I would hate that, wouldn't you? I'd hate to turn and look back and say, I want that. I want where I came from. I want my old life back. I want to live like that now. After you've saved me, taken away all the hell and the pain and all that, you go back there. Oh, no. Go back. There's no potential back there. Listen to me now. There's no potential in yesterday. There's no potential in 2012. It's gone. There's no potential. It's gone. All of it's gone. The only potential that we have is now. Now faith is. Right now. Not tomorrow. Right now. How far do we want to go? How far are we willing to go with Jesus? Well, I just want to get my retirement. Well, I hope I, you know what? I don't even want to go there, but I look and I say, oh Lord, so much potential. The church has so much potential. What's happening with us? What's happening in this century? You know, Robert Lewis said this, listen very carefully. If the church were absent from the community, if Calvary Chapel was absent from the community, would anyone miss it except for its own members? Think about that for a minute. If we locked the doors tomorrow, tonight when we left, if we left this community, if we just said it's over, would there be anyone who says, I sure miss Calvary, except us? Are you following me? See, it's so easy for the church today to practice isolation instead of insulation. Isolating ourselves from the world. We're coming, bless me, my wife, us four, no more, hallelujah. Do you understand what I mean? Oh no, listen, you know what I did before I left this morning? I Googled, Google, is that a verb? Anyway, I don't know why I do that. Isn't that weird? That means I was typing. You didn't know that, right? And I said, how many churches, if I had an iPhone, I could just, Siri. Do you ever find yourself being polite to her? I mean, it's like, you know, you're, Siri, what's today's weather forecast, please? She doesn't care if you say please. You think there's something odd about that? I could have just said, Siri, how many churches are in the Dallas-Fort Worth area? She said, there are. You know how she does it. Well, let me tell you how many there are. There's over 2,000. We should have turned the Dallas and Fort Worth upside down. There shouldn't be an unbeliever or a speck of sin from Dallas to Fort Worth. Is that happening? No. You know why? We're not walking in our potential. We're not following the Lord. Bill, you're putting me under the law. I'm not putting you under the law. Jesus said, if you love me, because I love you, keep my commandments. Obey me. If I say go, go. If I say wait, wait. Amen? Our potential is in Christ. We're his body upon this earth. There's so many great examples of obedience, you know, in the Bible. I mean, think of Noah, and I don't want to get off on the Noah, but my goodness, building that ark. You know, it says in Genesis 6, 22, it says that thus Noah did according to all that the Lord had commanded him. So he did. Think about that. He didn't know what an ark was. He just, you said it, Lord. Here's the outline. Okay. Never seen anything like it in my life. Man. All these compartments and the animals are going to come in here. This is going to be incredible. You know what I mean? He did what God told him to do. I think, oh Lord, think about Peter. There they are, the disciples in Luke chapter 5. And Jesus is, people are just pressing him everywhere because they want to hear the word of God. So he sees the boats out there in the water, and he gets in the one of them and said, Peter, push out ashore so I can teach the people. And he sat down, Jesus sat down, and he taught the people. Then he looked over to Peter and he said, Peter, he said, now listen, I want you to launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered Jesus and said, oh, master, master, you know, we toiled all night and caught nothing. In other words, that's kind of like saying to Jesus, Jesus, no offense, you are a carpenter. I am Peter. I am a fisherman. I've been at my daddy's a fisherman. We've been in the fishing business all our lives. There's not any fish there because we've worked all night long. Do you understand me? You know what Peter said? He said, nevertheless, meaning he thought about it. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, when they obeyed him, they caught a great number of fish and their net was breaking. How important is obedience? There's your victory. That's the moment that you step in and start following Jesus, the miraculous starts happening in your life. Listen, that's the adventure of it. It's when we say, you know what, Lord, I'm laying it all down. Why are we so trying to protect what we have when it's all going to be gone anyway? Yes, we need to be good stewards. Yes, provide for your family. Yes, pay off your bills. Go get you a nice car, get you a nice house, whatever you need. And then serve God. But serve God first and you'll get all that anyway. You may not get the house you want because his plan is different than yours. You know, you say, well, I'm going to settle for this thing right here. You know, and God says, oh, I've got a big, wonderful place over here for you it's going to be a lot less money than that thing there, but you're not following me. Are you listening to me? God knows everything. He knows what you need. He knows where to lead you. He knows everything that you need. How important is obedience? It is not only the key to our potential in Christ, it is our potential in changing the world for Christ. Amen? Think of D.L. Moody. I love D.L. Moody. You know, I've read just about all the books that have ever been written on him. And I have some that are out of print today that are absolute classics. One in particular, Dwight Moody, the world's greatest evangelist. It is, when I read that book, it's about 400 pages. I read it and I cannot stop crying when I read about this man's life. This great evangelist. Remember he founded the Moody Church there? You know the Moody Church. Erwin Lutzer, who's on KDKR, we listen to. He is the pastor there, and a wonderful man of God. You know, D.L. Moody founded the Moody Church, the Northfield School. He founded the Mount Hermon School. I've actually been there in Massachusetts when I preached up in New England. I was up there for a couple of weeks preaching at different churches. Man, I went out on that property. And when I say he built a school, listen, I'm not talking about like a little school. This was unbelievable, beautiful, a masterpiece of architecture. The trees that were there on the campus were unbelievable, huge, magnificent. D.L. Moody did all of that. He founded the Bible, the Moody Bible Institute, the Moody Publishers that are still going on today, the YMCA. Now listen to me. And he did so without an education. He couldn't even hardly speak English. I mean, he butchered the English language. He was terrible. He did that without education. He had absolutely no theological training at all. He did all of that without TV, without radio, without the internet. And listen to me, in his lifetime, D.L. Moody, how important is obedience? Listen to me now. He spoke to over 100 million people. Are you listening to me? 100 million people. And he did so. How did he do it? He obeyed God. He obeyed God. One man obeying God. Look what God did. He said, I want schools. I want colleges. I want a church built. Imagine how many people came to Christ because of D.L. Moody. Let me give you another man. How important is obedience? How about George Mueller of Bristol, who pastored a church of 1,200 people? He operated Sunday schools. He evangelized thousands of children. Now listen to this. George Mueller not only housed, fed, clothed, cared for over 60,000 orphans, but he did so for 60 years. And while he was doing that, he supported 187 missionaries. Now listen to me. He did all of that and never told a person his need. He never told anyone what he needed. He only went to God. He only went to the Lord in prayer. He depended solely on God's Word, the Holy Spirit, and prayer for his support. At the age of 70, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, my history may be wrong here. At the age of 70, he traveled an additional 120,000 miles or 100 into 120 different nations for the Lord. And he died at 93 years of age. At the end of his life, here's what someone said about George Mueller. The most significant aspect of George Mueller's 93 years on earth, here it is, was his absolute obedience to the will of God. We don't even know our potential. Well, Bill, that was George Mueller. Well, who are you? Listen, God takes nobodies and he makes them somebodies. See, there's so much potential in each and every one of you. Potentials in your lives, potentials in your business, because you're in Christ. He is waiting for you and me to really follow him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our spirit, all of our mind. He's wanting that. God wants us so to walk in the potential that Jesus paid for on the cross. How important is obedience? It is the key to our potential in Christ, and it's also what we do in this world for Christ. Ecclesiastes 12:13 puts it this way. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is man's all. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. I'll turn there with you. Genesis 12:1. Talking about how important is obedience. It says in Genesis 12:1, now the Lord had said, that's past tense. So we know that he had spoke to Abram back in chapter 11 there in verse 31 to get out of the land of the Chaldeans. Okay. So he says, get out of your country, which would be the land of the Chaldeans. Get away from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. And you know, you think about verse 1, and I'm going to ask you, how important of a verse is that? And how important was it when Abram obeyed that? Listen. Abraham had no idea that he was going to be the father of many nations. Amen? He didn't know that. Look at the potential. In Christ, nothing is impossible, okay? And I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, he had no idea that this one command, obeying it, that from him and through his lineage would come, you know, Jacob and so forth, and Isaac. And from there, what? The 12 tribes of Israel. And not only from there, the birth of the church. Think about that. All the things that were happening. The birth of Christ even. You know, the Messiah. So here we have the call of Abram. He says, you know what? God says, I want you to leave all that you know. And I want you to go to an uncertain destination. And how old was Abraham when God called him? 75 years old. How many people are 75 and younger here, huh? Don't raise your hand. God will get you, right? Listen, that means God's not through with you, okay? And I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, there is Abraham. And God is saying, Abram, listen, there's a narrow road in front of you. All you have to do is obey me. And in your wildest dreams, you cannot imagine. Abraham had no idea that one day he was going to walk outside at night and come and say, hey, Abraham, look up and count the stars if you're able. So shall your descendants be. He didn't know that was going to happen. He was living in the place of moon worship, an idolatrous city, Ur of the Chaldeans. God says, get out. Leave this area. Get away from your family. Leave it all behind you, Abraham. Leave it all behind you right now. I'm going to ask you a question. Was Abram different than any other man on the face of the earth? No, he wasn't at all. In other words, God's plan was waiting for him. All he had to do was step out. And he simply had to obey. Potential. The possibility of becoming what you are. Potential. Existing and ready for action, but not yet active. How important is obedience? Only by obeying will you ever, and me, all of us, will we ever find God's plan for our life and for this church. Question. The same voice that called Abram is the same voice that one day called Moses. Amen? Same voice that called David. The same voice that called all the disciples. The same voice that called you. That called me. We discover our potential when we obey the Lord and we get out of our comfort zones. And what do I mean by that? In other words, Abram, leave the Ur of the Chaldeans. Get out of town. Get away from all of that. And you know what? It's so sad today that so many of us, we don't want to leave our comfort zones. You know what happens if we don't do that? If we grow comfortable? And listen, there's nothing wrong with, you say, I have a retirement. Thank God you have a retirement. And that you're putting money away for your children, that, or education. That's wonderful. But you know, to live, you know, I ask a young man that I admire very much. He's in the military. He just got back from boot camp. And I said, what was the number one thing you learned? And he said, not to take anything or anyone for granted. I said, amen. I understand that. You know, it's so easy for us to take God for granted, isn't it? It's so easy for us to take each other for granted because there's so much backbiting in the church. I mean, my Lord, in all churches and gossiping and all that filth that comes from hell. You know, listen, it's so easy. It's so easy to take each other, to take your wife or your husband, your children for granted. You know, I have a saying, and I've said many times in my life, you never know who you are until you lose everything you have. And when you lose everything you have and you walk out of the house and it's no longer yours and you don't have a dime in your pocket and you don't have any place to go and no one who wants you, you learn who you are in Christ. And you know, you say, just like, you know, Ruth, when she walked out, Naomi sent her out and said, you're going to have to go glean, you know, in the fields. We're going to starve to death if you don't. What did Ruth do? The little Moabitess, she walked out to the front door and she looked, she said, do I go to the right? Do I go to the left? She had no idea that divine providence was leading her. See, when you obey God, He leads you. When you know, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. You'll want to come after me. Listen, our safety, everything we have is found in our obedience. Amen? That is the key to everything that you have. Everything. And I told the first service, I said, here's the deal. I asked myself a question. I said, and I told the Lord, I was actually repenting. I said, Lord, I repent for all the times I was disobedient to you. I said, you know, and I said, Lord, where would I be today had I never disobeyed you? And I know that's impossible. I mean, we all sin. Amen. But we don't want to. But I said, would that person be saved? Would that person be saved? I remember before I'd just come to the Lord. I couldn't have been 2 weeks. That was it. Just baby Christian. And I had a phone call from a woman who was my secretary. Actually, she was everybody's secretary, but it was when I used to build homes. And she called me and she said, can I come and talk to you? And I said, well, of course you can. And here I am, a brand new Christian. She's going through a horrible time with her husband. I'll never forget this. Now listen to me. I've never gotten over this ever in my life. And I told her, I said, well, y'all just need to go, you know, make up and so forth. She said, well, let's go have dinner. I said, no, I don't want to have dinner. She said, I really need to talk to you. I said, Bill, we worked together for years. I said, well, no, you know, I was a brand new, I was afraid to go alone with her. You understand me? I was a single man. I was terrified. As a baby Christian. And I said, no. The next morning, I got a phone call. She had killed herself that night. I didn't tell her about the Lord. Do you understand me? I go, oh God, when I found that out. I mean, I could not breathe. Do you understand me? She went home and turned on her car in the garage and she died. And I said to the Lord, I said, just the other day, I said, okay, Lord, if I said, had I not, all the times that I thought I just, where would I be now? Are you following me? Where would you be now in your marriage? Where would you be in your walk right now if you said, I obey you. I'm going to do what you say, even though I'm afraid. And yes, it's my flesh that's afraid. And I'm afraid of stepping out. I'm afraid of, Lord, I don't know how to walk on water. He says, oh, just come on out. I'll show you. He said, you're the church. I am your potential, Jesus says. I cannot fail, Jesus says. Amen. Think of all the times we didn't do what we knew to do. I regret every one of those times. Amen. Don't you? And I say, oh, Lord, no. Oh, no. What's holding us back? Why don't we get out of our the Chaldees? Let me say something to you. If something's holding you back, it's not the Holy Spirit. He'll say, he'll get you over here and he'll go, now you'll be able to hear, you'll get your direction right. He may put you on hold once you get there. But if there's something holding you back from obeying God, it's not the Holy Spirit, I can promise you. That's how important it is. Oh, listen, how far can God take us? For this generation, we're the last voice to this generation. We are. How far can we really go? You know what? God tells Abraham, Abraham, leave everything behind. I've got something ahead of you. I have so much potential ahead of you. It's going to be unbelievable. You're going to go, I think, well, listen, go study it out. How many different places did God take Abram? Was it 17, 18? Was it 22? I forget. All these different places. But he led him all the way. Now listen. Abram, get out of here and look what it says in verse 2. It says, and I'll make you. Now listen, look at this. I will make you a great nation. Listen, he's 75. He didn't have any kids, okay? I'm going to make you a great nation. I'll bless you, Abram. I'll make your name great and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And in you, Abram, watch this. All the families of the earth will or shall be blessed. Can you believe that? Is that potential? I look at that and I say, oh Lord, God called one man. Out of all the men that were on the planet, he called this one man. And from him, he would be in the line to the Messiah. Amen? And I look at that and I said to myself, oh, potential. The possibility of becoming what you already are. I'm going to ask you a question. When verses 2 down and 3, listen to me very carefully. Abraham, if you read those, did Abraham had to make any of this work? No. He didn't have to make any of that work. All he had to do was to obey God. I'm leaving the Chaldees. I said, bye, friends. I'm getting out of my comfort zone. God's getting ready to do something. Look at this potential. He's going to make me a great nation. I'm 75. I don't have any children. My wife doesn't. Hello. He said, oh gosh, he's going to make my name great. Whoever blesses me, you know, is going to be blessed. Whoever curses me is going to be cursed. And all the families in me. Look at the potential in one man. All the families, every family, the whole world is going to be blessed because Jesus is going to come through this. Do you understand? One man, and he didn't have to earn it. He didn't have to work for it. He did it through the power of another. Was it Abraham's power? Was it Abraham's wisdom? No, God did it all for him. All that Abraham had to do was simply obey the Lord. And that's what he did. He says, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. And it says Lot and all of them went with him. And he was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Verses 1, 2, and 3 have 70 words. That was all that God gave him, and he left the of the Chaldeans. I have 66 books in the Bible. Amen? He departed on 70. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:8, by faith, Abraham, and here's the word, obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive an inheritance. And listen now, and Abram went out, not knowing where he was going. He had no knowledge of it. He had no idea. He had no facts. He didn't know any of it. And you know what's so great about Abraham? Is he didn't wait to obey. I'd have given anything had I spoken to that lady about Jesus Christ. Oh, I pray she's in heaven. Abraham didn't wait to obey. His obedience was instant and it was immediate. Potential. The possibility of becoming what you are. We will never find God's plan, your individual plan that God has for you, if we're not an obedient people. This church will never move forward and go, what does God really have for us? It's going to take all of us, not just a few of us. All of us. What does He have for? What does God have for us? What part of the world is not going to be changed? See, if we don't step out, what part of the world or part of the city or that person over there, they'll never be saved. They'll never be changed. Nothing will ever happen unless we truly are obedient. Are you following me? It's just not one man. It's all of us together. There's something out there that God has for each and every one of you. For us together as well. Let's not be procrastinators. Let's, while we have time, while it's still called today, let's step out together and serve the Lord. Amen. Decision 2013. Do we really want to become all that we can be in Christ Jesus? And if so, how far are we really willing to go? By His grace, by His strength, by His power, not ours. How far are we really willing to go? You know, I'm very careful about what I want to say. And my headache stuff is wearing off, so I don't know, you know. Loved one, listen to me. What have we become? What have we become? What has the church become today? The church today is full of entertainment. You got to have the right kind of worship, the right kind of music. You got to know how to move. You know what I'm saying? You got to have the right kind of technology. No, listen, may it all burn. I want Jesus, the only true potential. I don't have to use flesh to attract people to God's church. Amen? It's the Holy Spirit of God. We're selling out to the world. No wonder we're not turning the world upside down, and no wonder the world is turning our nation upside down. We have all of this potential. It's like it's all bottled up. Who's tamed us? Who's made us where we're afraid and we're timid, where we won't even pray at Luby's or something? Give me a break. What's wrong with us that we're afraid to tell our next door neighbor or the person at work about Jesus Christ? We're salt. We're God's people. We're the church forever triumphant. The gates of hell will not prevail against us. What's wrong? Why are we not taking up the armor of God? Why are we not moving forward? Why are we not putting darkness underneath our feet? I'll tell you why. You have to say, Lord, it's You and only You. I don't want anything else. Listen, you know, may I say something to you, and I don't mean this to be offensive. I don't care if we ever build that building. I really don't. Oh, do we need it? Yes. But do I really? Listen, I want Jesus. I want us on fire for God. What's the use of having 1,000 people if we're just going to be like everybody else? I don't want it. I want to go forward in the power of another. I want us to Lord, we're going to sell out. We're gonna practice radical Christianity. We're gonna speak the truth in love. We're not gonna beat people up with our Bibles. We're gonna love them. We're gonna love them like You would. Jesus, You were a friend to tax collectors and sinners. Why are we? Are we too good for that? Oh, listen. We need to love everyone. We need to love the lost. We need to love each other. We have so much potential. Let's stop hiding it. 2013, we have a decision. Are we going to move forward? Are we just going to slumber and settle down into our lazy boys and say, you know what, Bill? I'm very happy. Well, if we don't have a revival in this nation, you know what I wish? I would to God that when our president laid his hand upon the Bible and took the oath, that he really wanted to do what's in this Bible. We live in a nation now that is exalting itself above the Word of God. If you don't think we're not in trouble, then you're not burdened for this nation, because we are in trouble. Do you know the Lord? Do you know the Lord this morning? You who are listening live, do you know the Lord? Is Jesus really your Lord? Are you really following Him? Jesus said this as I close this morning one more time. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Ask yourself a question right now. Have you called Jesus Lord, Lord? And you say, are you saying, Jesus, you are my Lord, but you're not following him. You're not following him. Jesus said this again. He said, if you love me, then keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. He who does not love me does not keep my word. Self-deception, loved one, is to believe that just calling Jesus Lord is enough. That's just the beginning. And after that, you start following him. Amen. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I ask you that question right now. Is Jesus Christ your Lord? Oh, how much potential. He wants to erase your darkness. He died for you. He loves you so much. Oh, that he died on the cross for our sins, for your sins. How he wants you, how he wants to give you potential in your life. How he wants you to have his plan, which is always perfect for you. Oh, Lord. It's so available. Do you know the Lord? If you don't know him, listen right where you're sitting, just right now. You don't have to come down here. Just do this right now. Say, Jesus, in your heart, say it to him. Say, Jesus, oh, be my Lord. Say it to him. It's okay. He loves you. Say, Jesus, be my Lord. Oh, come into my heart. Live in my heart right now. I want you. I want you to forgive me. I want you to be my Lord. I just don't want to be a person that says, Lord, Lord, I want to follow you. Say that to him. Tell him. You that are listening live, you tell him the same thing. You don't know the Lord, pray right now. Don't mess around. This is a holy time. Do you know him? Or do you just call him Lord, Lord? Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord? And do not do the things that I ask you to do. How important is obedience? It's so important right now. If you don't do what I'm asking you, you'll either spend eternity in hell or eternity in heaven. Oh, that's so unpleasant for me to say, but it's the truth. Say, Jesus, be my Lord. Come into my heart. If you said that, no one looking around, no one coming down here. If you said that, if you cried out to him and said, Jesus, come into my heart, be my Lord. Here's what I want you to do by faith now. I just want you to lift your hand and put it right back down and say, Bill, I prayed that right there. Yes, God bless you. Yes, yes, that's right back there. Yes, sir. God bless you, sister. I see that. That's right. Well, Father, there's no one like you. This church, Lord, we want to reach our full potential. We're tired of playing games. We're tired of keeping one foot on the rock and one foot in the world. We're moving forward, Lord. In your power, in your grace, by your strength. Lord, those that lifted their hands, that prayed that prayer, those even on that are listening live, that did the same thing, fill them right now. Overflow them with your spirit. Use them, Father, mightily. Raise up D.L. Moody's and Billy Graham's. Oh, God, raise up mighty men and women of God that'll change this world. That will find their true potential in Christ. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. Would you stand to your feet with me, please?